Well, God bless you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, and welcome to another fellowship. And we've just been having great time, and Lee had a couple of testimonies to share, which I recorded, and Jason also had some good things to share, which I also recorded, and I'll put them on a separate audio file under the teaching. But I just want to thank everyone that hooks up to the teachings, and I know there's many people coming to the teaching from the statistics on the in the blog. Pray that you get blessed and you're encouraged, and if you've got any testimonies of what God's done for you through the teachings that we're doing, especially on this Faith and Confession series that we've been doing, then please email me and send it in, and you know, we can share your testimonies of what God's doing. Also, if you have any prayers, if there's anything you're going through right now, you need someone to pray with, you can call us through Skype, or you can send an email and prayer requests. We'll pray for you. And God really is at work, and the Word of God works for those who work the Word. So you need to know what God says, so that you can make a demand on what God says. Okay, because Jesus Christ, he accomplished so much for us as believers, and the only way that we know what he accomplished is when we go to the Word of God. In Hosea 4:6, I'd like you to take your Bibles and go there. It's just a really wonderful record, and I learned this, one of my very first scriptures that I learned, and it's still true as today as it was any time. And the Word of God is for those that want to believe. The Word of God wasn't written for unbelievers. It was written for those that want to believe and those that are going to practice. So Hosea chapter 4, and in verse 6 it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou should be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." So God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. It's not a lack of knowledge for anything that's in this world, but it's a lack of knowledge of what God is saying to his people at any given time. So we're in 2017, and God's got things that he wants us to know and to understand. There's many Christian, wonderful Christian people that have been taught wrongly, and they think that sickness is the right thing in their life, that it's proven their faith and it's humbled them down, or that lack, they should have lack and they shouldn't have their needs met, and you know, that they struggle through life. God does not want us to struggle through life, and believing, living by faith is not a struggle. The Bible says the just shall live by faith, not by sight, not by what they see, hear, smell, taste and touch. And so God wants his people in the know of what he's made available through his son Jesus Christ today, and he wants all of his people to be victorious in their living. And we're body, soul and spirit. And, you know, we got body and soul, and we got the Spirit of God in us, and God wants us healthy in all those areas of our life. It's been made available to us that we can truly have a life, and we can really be successful, because God wants you to have a successful journey. That doesn't mean to say you're not going to encounter problems and situations, but you can have a successful journey where you can navigate through those problems and situations, where you can go around the mountain, go through the mountain and go over the mountain. And Isaiah chapter 40 is a really wonderful record. Again, people are destroyed through not really understanding what God's saying. In Matthew 13, Jesus Christ said, you know, the one that didn't understand the word, then cometh the wicked one and taketh that word which was sown in his heart. So our heart here is to endeavour to show what God is saying so that you and teach it so that you can understand the principles of what God set up so that you can operate in those principles. And this is why we're still in this subject of faith and confession, because the more you go over something and familiarise yourself with it, the more you're going to really understand it. And once you begin to understand it, then you know to operate and to practice those things. If you don't fully understand about faith and confession, what the Word of God says, not what any I'm saying about it or what preachers are saying about it. If I'm saying what the Word of God says about it, then it's good to listen up. Okay, but I've heard faith preachers teach, yeah, you can have a jet plane, millions of pounds. But that's not what we say. We say what God says and his word says. And when we get that word abundant in our heart, when we start to work the word for ourselves, then we become knowledgeable of what God is saying. Then we can have the wisdom and we can start to apply it. In Isaiah 40:28, it says this, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creators of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. God doesn't faint and he never gets tired, right? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. Those that are fainting in life, those that are struggling, he gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. See, when we go to God, when we turn our attentions on him, when we start to understand what he's saying to us, and we start to apply what he's saying to us, then we will have these benefits that he's saying here. And this word of God is for those that are going to believe. And when you put this word into practice for yourself, then you're going to get the benefits, you're going to get the blessings, you're going to reap the rewards. Just like someone that goes to work and works hard, the reward of their labor is their wages. What wages are you receiving in this life? Are you laboring in the worries, the fears, the doubts, the negatives, the unbeliefs, your circumstances, your situation? Don't you know God is an everlasting God, that he can give you the strength to overcome every situation when you go in his strength? When you try and figure it out all by yourself, then you're going to struggle in life. And God didn't design you to struggle in life. He didn't design the believer to struggle in life. It was his purpose that each person that's born in this world was to have a great life. He set up Adam and Eve. They got tripped out by the god of this world, Satan. He became the god of this world when they transferred power, when Adam and Eve was disobedient. They didn't listen to God. And that's what happens when we don't listen to God. Then we allow the enemy to come in. We're giving him room and access to come in. We're inviting him in. We also learn that what we say activates either the law and sin of death in our life in Romans 8:2, or the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So we understand from what I've taught already that in Romans 8:1 it says there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. What condemnation? The condemnation of sickness, death, separation from God, lack, poverty, disease. Anyone that's in Christ, anyone that has the Spirit of God of them is in Christ. And it says that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from that law and sin and death. So that law is not the law of Moses, it's the law which come into the world through the fall of Adam and Eve and passed upon all men. Anyone that's not born again is under that law of sin and death. We activate it as believers when we start saying what we see. When we start speaking the world's problems, the situations, when we come into agreement with Satan through the lies of the world and we start saying that, we're activating that law of sin and death. But when we start saying what God says, when we understand what's accomplished for us, what Jesus Christ accomplished through his death, burial and resurrection, and who we truly are now as this new spirit person with Christ in us, this new creation, and we come into agreement, then we activate the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, where there's no sickness, where there's no lack, where there's no poverty. And see, the God of this world, he's a liar. And he wants you to accept his lies. And when you start to accept his lies, then he can start to steal from you. Kill the joy in your life. Destroy your life. That's what he wants to do. He comes to steal, kill and destroy. Now, there's a record in Luke 22 and in verse 1. And it really is a great, great record. And, you know, God wants you to protect your heart and your mind by his word. So we need to get the word and we need to work it and understand it. And that's why we do fellowship. That's why we come together as a believer, as believers, to see what God is showing us from his word and what he's working in us by his spirit. We need to get like-minded on the word. See, when we're like-minded on the word, then great things are going to happen. And in Luke 22, verse 31, it says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." So Satan, this word sift means to shake in a sieve, by inward agitation to try one's faith to the verge of overthrow. See, Satan wants to overthrow your faith as a believer. And the way he does it, he bombards you with the negatives of this world, with emotions, with your feelings. He works through your old man nature. He works through other people. And the way he does it for other people is by getting to you through your emotions, your thoughts, and people speaking negative into your life. He does it through the environment and through weather conditions and the conditions that are in your world, your environment. And he also does it by anything that's before God, any idols or religion, the traditions of men. That's how he wants to get you. He wants to overthrow your faith. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's how we move as believers. The Bible says the just, the righteous, us, shall live by faith, not by sight, not what by what we see. And Satan knew if he could sift Peter as wheat, then he would destroy his life and his ministry that was already going to be coming up into his life. In verse 32 it says, Jesus said, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted or strengthened, strengthen thy brethren. See, when we get the word of God in our heart, we become strong, not weak. When we decide that we're going to live for God, when we decide to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, rather than what we're seeing, then God goes to work and activates his spirit mightily in us. And we start to say and see things from God's perspective rather than what we've been taught. It's like with Lee, she really wants to know. Like she said tonight, I really want to know. I want to learn the things that I didn't pay attention to before. And I want to get it in my heart because I know it works. And I, you know, she remembered the peace and the blessings in her life when she was coming. And now God's brought her back and she wants to learn more. So this is, you know, a great start and a great heart and attitude. But as believers that have been faithful and been practicing, you know, we can really get shook up at times in our life and in our walk. But we got to know who our enemy is, and we got to know how to combat that enemy. And God's word reveals how to do that when we're walking in that new man, when we're being led by the Spirit of God. So one of the areas where a lot of God's people lack a knowledge of God is in the area of their faith and confession. See, because they've heard wrong teachings on faith and confession, and people trying to get gain from their faith and confession, they say it doesn't work. But listen, you started your new life by your faith and confession, by Romans 10, 9 and 10, when you said Jesus was your Lord, and you believed in your heart God raised him from the dead. You believed in your heart and you said with your mouth. That's how we continue with God, okay, in everything that we're doing. We don't say what we see in our circumstances. There's lots of things that can really go on in individual life as believers. There might be things, other people that affect us, family members or, you know, partners, and they may not be tracking with God like they should be tracking with God, and they could have a pull on your faith which can bring you down if you look at it. But a lot of people get suckered into that. You know, I know it's very easy in a marriage relationship. If me and Kim are off and we're not lining up with what God says, then we can really bring each other down. So we have to keep ourselves strong. So you don't base your faith upon anyone else but your walk with God first. And you keep yourself strong. You make up your mind that no matter what goes on, I'm going to be strong in the Lord. I'm going to know what God says. I'm going to confess the word of God, no matter what anyone else is saying. When you make up your mind, then you'll get a strength. And it doesn't matter what is going on around you, you will stand. And God will cause you to stand. And then those people will come to you because they see that you're unmoved. Because you're going in the strength of God. You're saying what God says rather than what you're seeing and experiencing. So when it comes to prayer, a lot of people will pray the problem, when in fact we should be praying the end results of what we want to see. So instead of saying, well, God, you know, I've really prayed, and you know, but this situation is this and that, and God is saying, hold on a minute, I know what's going on. What do you want to do about it? What result would you like? You need to find my promises, and you need to say the end result. You need to say what you want rather than what you see. He knows what is going on in your life. He knows the challenges that you have. You don't need to tell him. Okay, you can cast your cares to him. Say, Father, I have a lack of finances. My circumstances is this, but I know that you are faithful, and I know that all my needs are met because your word says my needs are met. and I make a demand on your promises to me that you shall supply all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I thank you that my needs are met. I thank you that you've supplied me. I thank you that you've given me a deliverance. I thank you that you won't let me be tempted above that which I am able. I thank you, Father, that you're coming through and you're making a way where there seems no way. I thank you that prosperity is on its way. And you know, when we start saying what God said, when you start saying that rather than focusing on what you haven't got and start being thankful for what you have got and what the promises of God says, then your faith will increase. Instead of coming down and being negative and, well, nothing's working for me, instead of thinking that way and saying that way, then when you start saying what God says, then you start to believe that way. So these things are just really important. So when you're faced with a situation in life, how do you respond? And there's a great record in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, which we're going to read. So if you go take your Bibles and go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you'll see as we go through this how the wonderful believers in this record responded to the attack that was coming upon them. And talking about attacks, there's a lot of people, a lot of believers that are under spiritual attack right now. There's ministers under spiritual attack. There's wonderful believers that stood for years that are under spiritual attack. And if the leaders and these people that have been standing upon the word are under attack, what do you think about the younger believers? But what are you doing while you're under attack? Are you going to God or are you caving into the pressure? And there are pressures and sometimes we can be pressed, but like the wind blows and the trees may bend, but they don't break on principle, right? We're not going to break. When we stay with God, he will come through for us. He is faithful. When we start looking at the storm of life, then we'll go under. We start to sink like Peter did. When he started to look at the storm, when he was walking to Jesus on the water, he started to sink. He didn't go straight down. He started to sink because why? His faith was coming down. And God wants your faith to be strong. He wants you to make a demand on what on the provisions he's already given to you. So like I was explaining earlier on, if you got £100 in your bank, and you want to go and draw £50 out, you write your cheque, you go to the bank, and you make a demand on the money that's in your account to come to you. Well, God has given us riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And we need to make a demand on the provision that God has given to us. And we do that by faith. We receive the things by faith. We take the word of God. Father, this is what you said. This is the promise in your word. And I believe that with all my heart, soul, mind and strength, and I make a demand based upon the authority of your word. And then you just believe you got it, right? You believe you've already received it before it becomes manifest. And then you stay in faith. You stay believing. You stay confessing until you get the manifestation of what you're believing for. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and we start to read this record, and I encourage you, when you go home, go through this record yourself and go through it slowly and see what you can learn from it for yourself. And in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1, and it says, "It came to pass after this also, that the children of Moab, and the children of Ammon, and with them others beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle." So Jehoshaphat was God's man, and the Ammons and the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to do battle. "Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hamazmata, which is in Gilead. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and to proclaim a fast throughout all Judah." See, basically what a lot of people do when they know that there's a battle coming against them, they freak out. And they try and sort the problem out themselves. But Jehoshaphat set a good standard and an example that we can learn from here, that he set himself to seek the Lord. In other words, he went to God in prayer. And he got those people, because he was over the people, he got them to fast. In other words, everyone to go to God. So if you're in a situation that you're facing, the first thing you do is you go to God. And if you can get people to pray and speak in tongues along with you, then get them to do that. And it says, "And Judah gathered themselves together." They came together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. So they got humble. They realized this is something they couldn't handle. And only God could handle this. And so they went to God. And that's what we need to do. Verse 5 says, "And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new courts, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham thy friend for ever? And thou dwellest therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If, when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help." So Jehoshaphat is saying to God, look, aren't you God? He knows he's God. He's reminding God of who he is, right? And he's also making a demand on a promise that was made also in verse 9. And verse 10, it says, "And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." Listen, when you don't know what to do, you need to find that promise of God and set your eyes on God. You need to give it to God. "And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wife and their children. Then upon Jezel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of congregation." See, nothing happens without the Spirit of God moving and working in someone. Okay? And it says, "And he said, Hearken." So this guy stood up and said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God." Listen, too many believers are trying to fight the battle which don't belong to them. Any battle that you are facing right now is God's. The battle belongs to God, not you. And if you're trying to sort out your problem, your situation, the battle that's raging in your life right now, you need to stop, go to God, and let him fight that battle for you. You just get humble before him, you pray to him, you find his promises, you make a demand on the promises of God, and then you just continue to say what God says, and you continue to seek God, and then you do the things that he's putting in your heart. You follow the instruction that he's working in you. And verse 16 says, "Tomorrow," so now they're getting instructions what to do, "tomorrow go you down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jorel. You shall not need to fight in this battle." And it's the same today. We don't really need to fight in this battle, but we need to set our hearts to God, and we need to get his word, and we need to say what his word says and do what God leads us to do. "Set yourself, stand still, and see the salvation, the wholeness, the deliverance of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not." See, the opposite to faith is fear. And they're being encouraged, "Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." When we keep God first, when we trust in him, when we give him our battles, he'll do the fighting. Because he's with you. And God is in you. And Christ is in you. You are not going to fail when you stay in faith, when you stay saying what God says, and when you make a claim on his promises. Verse 18, "And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground," great humbleness, "and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord." And what did they do? worshipping the Lord. Praise God in your situation. Be thankful for what you have. Be thankful that God has the answers, the solution, the deliverance, the direction. And we worship him. We speak in tongues. We can sing to God. And verse 19, and the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. They praised. And again, our singing songs, making melody in your hearts, Colossians 3:15. We need to do that. You know, we make melody in our hearts and we just thank God and we praise him. You may not feel like it, but when you start to do it, then something goes to work. And they arose early, verse 20, in the morning, and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and all ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. Number one, believe in the Lord your God, so you shall be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And I've covered this before. We believe God. We believe the prophets or the teachers that have been put before you. And it says, so shall you prosper. So number one, God wants you to believe him. And then he wants you to believe his spokesperson to you. If you do that, you'll prosper. If you go your own way, you won't prosper. But if you stay in the confines and the boundaries of what God set up in his word, you'll prosper. Because God has called us today in one body of Christ. Okay, even though many people are split up in that body of Christ, we're still one body of Christ. And when we come together, when we do what God says, and when we're humble and meek, not thinking we're something special, or God's got to move heaven and earth just for us, right? When we're humble and meek, then God can really do his work. And we move together the strongest when we're together, when we're believing together, when we're saying what God says together, when we're in agreement with God's word. But first of all, we got to get ourselves in agreement with God's word. And then God will bring us amongst those that are going to believe also. So this stuff is really powerful. And verse 21, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. So the singing is a very important part, as well as the word of God and the confession of the word. And that should praise the beauty of his holiness as they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. So, again, the praises of God in our mouth is very important. You know, and when we get into a habit of saying what God says, then his praises will continually be in our mouth. Verse 22, and when they began to sing and to praise, see, listen, when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which came against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. So the armies that were all coming against Israel, what happened? These armies turned upon each other and killed each other, right? Verse 24, and when Judah came towards the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoils. It was so much. So all the stuff that belonged to these armies that were coming against Judah, all their jewelry, their money, everything, it all coming into the hands of Israel. God prospered these guys. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. And when we do what God says, he will prosper you. Okay, in many different areas of your life. Verse 26. And on the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Barak, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of that same place was called the valley of Baraka unto this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And God will make you to rejoice over your enemies, whether that enemy be sickness, disease, whether it be worries, fears, lack, poverty, debt. When you put the principles of God into operation in your life, He's going to deliver you. Yeah. When we keep saying what God says, He's going to deliver you. When we praise and rejoice in our God, He's going to deliver you. That's the principles there we can see. And the fear of God was on all the kingdom of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. See, Jehoshaphat had respect unto God, and he put God first, and he turned his heart to God, and he followed out, and he was obedient to what God showed him to do from the prophet that spoke into their lives. And so this is how God works, and He's with us and He's for us. So we need to remember we have an enemy. Okay, in John 10:10, it says the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's all Satan does. He steals, he kills and destroy. It also says in the Word of God that he smites with a continual stroke. In other words, he's on it all the time, looking to kill, steal and destroy. Okay, so if he's on his game all the time, how much more do we have to be on our game all the time? How much more do we have to say what God says all the time? How much do we have to recognize that even though we're in the senses realm, we are living by faith? We need to operate in the kingdom principles if we want to see the kingdom's principles manifested in this world. We need to operate by the Spirit of God. We need to know what God says. We need to find out what God says. We need to practice and do what God says. So faith is released by what you say and how you act. Fear is released by what you say and how you act. Faith and fear are a force that goes to work, but you're the ones that release it. See? Through your words, through your actions. So we have to, once we start to get this concept and idea of how things work, then we can start operating in what God shows us to operate in. Jesus Christ said, I am come that they might have life. That's fullness of life. And that they might have it more abundantly. See, if you're walking in that Zoe life, that fullness of life, every need being supplied in every area. Okay, and it comes by being faithful and doing what God is showing you. Then you're going to have a successful journey through life, right? You're going to be set up so that you're blessed. So that you can be a blessing, that you can infest what God's infested in you into other people. Because our whole ministry is not just to have a relationship with God and one another within the body of Christ, but is to reach out to those that are still stuck in darkness, those that are still being stolen from and killed and destroyed. And we can really reach out. And this gospel in Romans 1:16 says it's the power of God unto salvation. The word salvation means wholeness, deliverance. And that's what God wants all of us to have. But we have to make our stake upon the Word of God. We have to make our demands upon the Word. We make a stand. And we're not going to move from what God says. 3 John 2 says, Beloved, I wish, this is God's intense desire, above all things, that thou mayest prosper. And this word prosper literally means to have a good journey through life, right? A successful journey through life. And be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Your soul is you, your will, mind, and emotions. As it prospers in the Word of God, finding out how God operates and how He wants us to operate, then you begin to prosper. Then you begin to have a successful journey through life. Before any of us come to the world, we didn't have a successful journey through life. We might have been successful in some areas, but we probably dealt with a lot of problems. I know I did. But since I've come to the world, I know how to deal with these situations that come up. I'm not worked over by the enemy in the same area because I'm strengthening myself up on all shores. See? I'm learning to say what God says. I'm getting the word of faith in my heart and releasing it from my mouth. So when I speak it, I don't doubt. Because I'm building it in my heart. I've hid that word in my heart so that I can receive the things that God wants me to have. I'm still practicing these things. And you need to practice this faith, this confession. We need to look at the records of the word, how people, God's people that were in bondage, how did they come out of that bondage? See, how did God deliver them? See, God goes to work when we believe. And he's working for you to believe. He's given us his word. He's given us the Spirit. He's given us other wonderful believers. But if we're not listening, then we're going to stay and get worse in our little trap that we're in. We get comfortable in the traps that we live in. And God doesn't want you to live like that. He wants you to be free from fear, free from sickness, free from disease, free from financial worries. He wants to bless you. This is heart. He really wants you to be blessed. And he wants to be first in your life. You putting God first. When you decide to put God first, he'll help you to do it as well. When you turn your attentions on God, he'll turn his attentions on you. And he'll go to work for you. He loves you. He's a God of love. He's a God of compassion. And really, Jesus Christ has accomplished everything for us to live a successful life. But we got to appropriate what God has made available. We got to say what God says. We got to believe what God says. We got to find out what God says. And then we walk in the truth of who we truly are. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'll let you get there. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and in verse 4 it says, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, he says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom," not with the senses' wisdom, right? "But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith, your believing, should not stand in the wisdom of men," what men and what this world is saying, "but in the power of God," the manifestation of his power. That's where God wants you to have your faith established. See, when we're believing the word of God, it's going to produce results. There'll be power manifested, power for healing, power for deliverance, power for provisions. See, God has provided everything. He wants a relationship with you. See, all these things, all these needs that come up, they're needs which we can either allow to distract us from our relationship with God, or we either believe God in those situations. So our focus is on God rather than the situations. God wants your faith to stand in his power, not in the wisdom of what man says and their philosophies. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. So Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith," but without believing, "it is impossible to please him," God. So without believing, you can't please God. "For he," or the person, or she, "that comes to God must believe that," number one, "he is. And that he," God, "is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Diligently going to God. Diligently finding the answers. Praying the end results rather than the problem. Seeking his heart. He says if you go to God, you believe that he's there. He's the creator of the heaven and the earth. He's working on your behalf. And he will work on your behalf when you diligently seek him. So you can diligently seek him in his word. You can diligently seek him in your prayer life. Looking for the answers. Build up your relationship with God. He wants to talk to you. He can talk to your heart via the Spirit of God. God can communicate to you directly through that Spirit of God. And you have direct access to God. In Hebrews 4:16 it says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace," or favor, "we may obtain mercy and find help in the time of need." So God says you can boldly go to him with no fear, no sense of condemnation, guilt or shame. Why? Because you're righteous already. You are in right stand before God because of what Jesus Christ done, and you believed on Jesus Christ. So you can go to him really confident. "God, I'm making a stake on, I'm making a claim and a demand on your word because this is what's been accomplished for me. I thank you that you are a faithful God. I thank you that this battle that I'm faced with right now is in your hands. And I trust you completely with all my heart that these needs are met." There's a way to pray. Don't pray the problem. God already knows the problem. Find that promise in the situation and then pray the end results. Like Mark 11:23, "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe the things which he says, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you call for, when you pray, believe that you receive them, you already got it, and you shall have them. This is how God operates. He's a faith God. God is a faith God. So we got to be people of faith, right? We operate how God operates. We see how he works. Like the kids. You know, the kids are pretty clever. They know how to work out mummy and daddy, and they work them, right? If they know daddy's going to say no to this, they go to mummy, because she'd probably say yes, and vice versa, right? Know how your father works. Pull on his trousers, you know, until he says, all right, okay, it's yours, you know? It's yours. You receive everything by faith, and that means you believe you already got it before it's manifest. So we need to say what God says. Galatians chapter 3, another wonderful record. And in verse 13 it says, Christ have redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through believing. Everything from God is received by believing. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. So anything that was under the curse of the law has no right in your life when you're walking by the Spirit. Because Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Okay, that law of sin and death also. That is our operation in this world. Does not go in effect against you when you are operating in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. This is talking about the law of Moses here. It says that the blessings of Abraham, the blessings that God gave to Abraham, will come upon the Gentiles. So the blessings of Abraham belong to us when we're walking in right relationship with God, when we're saying what his word says, when we're recognizing who we are in Christ, when we start to learn these things, we practice our confession, our faith, we pray the end result rather than what we're seeing, we make a demand on the promises of God. Psalms 35. This is just a great record. So Psalms 35 verse 27 says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favour my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually. Let them say continually. Psalms 35 27. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which have pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. God has pleasure in your prosperity, in your welfare, right? God is blessed when you're prospering, when everything in your life is doing well and abounding. God has pleasure in that. But he says, let them say continually. And then verse 28 says, and my tongue, which helps you to speak, shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. All the day long. In other words, you're going to say what God says. Okay? And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness. For us today is what Christ accomplished for us. The righteousness that of God which we receive through Christ. And we're claiming those promises of God. We're saying what God says about us. And of thy praise all the day long. Okay, so when we choose to obey what God shows us, then we're going to prosper. It's very simple. We either believe the word to us or we don't. We either make up our minds that we're going to do what God says or we don't. The choice is always yours. God says, choose life or death. And then he says to you, therefore choose life. He gives you the answer. He says, look, this is what you need to choose. So it's like taking a test with the answers already there for you. God has made it very simple. And as we develop ourselves in the world, we can start to see it is very, very simple. So I want to show you. We're going to finish off in Deuteronomy. And these things you can also say in your life. You can find the promises and say them. And Deuteronomy 28 verses 1 to 14. God was saying to these guys, you know, if you do these things, then you're going to be blessed. You're going to prosper. So there's something that you need to do. And there's something we need to do. We know what God is saying to us. We've gone through the records here. And we've gone through this faith and confession of how God shows us we need to speak. And if we do it, then the blessings become ours, right? They're already ours. They start to manifest. We need to activate it through our faith. We need to give faith a voice, okay? Faith is a force that goes to work and is released for our actions and our words. So Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 says, And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently. Now we seek him diligently as well, right? And we hearken, listen diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. In other words, really pay attention to what's being said so that you don't miss a thing, right? To observe and to do all his commandments which I have commanded thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. Now, it's not that we're under this law, but we can still take the principles from it by listening to God and doing what he's saying for us to do. And it says, and all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee. See, it's God's heart for you to be blessed. He really wants you to be blessed. And he's showing again how to get the blessings, right? To observe and to do and to listen, right? To hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God and to observe what he's showing you to do. Shall overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Verse 3, blessed shalt thou be in the city. In the city, what do you go to the city for? To do business, right? And blessed shalt thou be in the field. If you're a farmer and you're sowing your seeds, you're going to prosper. Blessed shalt be the fruit of thy body. Like 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. And the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. In other words, you're going to be overflowing in your basket. Everything's going to be provided for you. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thy enemies, those that are against you, that rise up against thee, to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. Who's going to cause that to happen? God. Why? Because you're putting him first. The Lord shall command the blessings upon thee in thy storehouses. Your storehouses is where you store up your food and your goods and your resources. And in all that thou settest thy hand unto. In other words, everything that you do is going to be blessed. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. To do it, to do what? You know, not only just to know what God is saying to us today, but to do it and practice it. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. They'll watch themselves around you. Verse 11. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods. You think God wants you to be abundant, blessed? Yeah, I'm sure he does. In the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto the land in his season. So the land needs rain for the crops to grow, right? And to bless all the works of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. God wants you to be in a position where you're lending rather than borrowing, right? That's how much he wants to bless you. And the Lord shall make thee the head, you know, the boss, and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if thou listen unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. You know, to not let go of those words. You need it in your heart, and you need to release it with your mouth, and you're establishing that word in you. And then so when you speak, your words are going to be blessed words. They're going to be faith-filled words. And so this is how God is showing us to operate, to walk in his power, to receive the things that he's already made available in Christ. God wants you to make a demand on his promises, but he wants you to fulfill the conditions of that too. Okay, and that's to keep him first, to love him with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, and your neighbour as yourself, to do good, to be a blessing. Look to bless. You're more blessed when you give rather than receiving, isn't it? Right? So that can be in anything. And so look to be a blessing. And as you look to be a blessing, God will bless you. See, God's going to take care of your need. As you go to God, casting all your cares to Him, but not telling Him the problem. He knows the problem. But rather, say the end results. Father, you see what's happening. And I know that you're aware of everything that's going on in this situation right now. And I take a claim on your word. I'm going to say what your word says. Your word says that you're going to take care of this need. Because I'm keeping you first. I've set my love upon you. Like Psalms 91 is really wonderful. Let's finish off in Psalms 91. I didn't plan to read this. But again, it is just really great just to see that God has made everything available. But we have to make a demand on it. We have to fulfill the conditions. In the sense of our faith and our confession, our love for God. And it says in Psalms 91, He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will, what? Say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my shelter, and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. In other words, I'm not going to say the circumstances, and I'm not putting my trust in the circumstance. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare or the trap of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth, His word, His truth of His word shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh unto thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Why? Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, my safety, even the Most High thine habitation. In other words, you're dwelling in the presence of God. You've got His word abounding in your heart. You're speaking in tongues. You're praying to Him. You're looking to Him in all situations. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague, disease, viruses come near thy dwelling. For He, God, shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. This was also a prophecy concerning Jesus Christ, but it is also for us today, we can claim. They shall bear, the angels shall bear thee up in thy hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because He has set His love upon me. God wants us to set our love upon Him. Therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me. So when you call upon God, and I will answer him. God's going to answer you. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So God bless you. That's what I want to share tonight.